Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today I'm speaking with Lori Day, educational psychologist and consultant, writer and blogger with over 25 years of experience in the field of education. In this next segment, we talk about technology and community. What do you think technology has done to help us parent?
For one thing, parents are so much less isolated than they used to be before technology. One advantage of having ubiquitous technology in our lives, I would say, is that parents have many ways of connecting, especially working parents who might not have time for play groups and things like that. And so there's also the internet provides access to lots of resources. I mean, let's say you're a parent, I'm making this up, let's say you're a parent of an autistic child. Think about how isolating that was in the past. And now there are all kinds of websites that give you information, that let you talk with other parents online, that let you ask questions and get support. And I think technology has made all of that possible. The danger, however, that I do want to point out is that there is a lot of advice out there, and it's not all good. So while technology provides a lot of opportunity for parents to get help and find resources, there's also a lot of people dispensing advice that is not always helpful. So separating the wheat from the chaff is a challenging thing to do.
And that's something we have to be able to teach our kids to do now, too.
Absolutely. It's being called the information age now, and a lot of the talk among education circles is about information processing, and that kids have to be explicitly taught how to sift through all of the information that's out there, how to determine whether the sources are good or not, and how to know how to use and filter all of the information that's available to them.
What kinds of things can parents do to support a school and school do to support parents?
If you walk around a school, let's take an elementary school, you go into your child's classroom, you go into other classrooms. In many of these classrooms, you will see on the wall social contracts that the teachers and the kids make together for how they're going to be a community and how they're going to listen when others talk and how they're going to respect each other and how they're going to deal with conflict when it arises. So we already have this in place on the child level. I actually think we need it more explicitly in place on the adult level. Let's take email. We now have email when we didn't, however many years ago. And the technology always develops faster than the etiquette behind how you use it. Understanding when to use email, when not to, and how to use it is important for parents, and it needs to be laid out by the school administration. Equally so, the school administration needs to set guidelines for teachers on what the expectations are for how they respond to emails. Many schools have instituted a 24-hour email return policy. That is a way of saying to parents, I've heard you, I've received your email, and I'm responding to you. The response may be, I'd like to talk about this in person, but at least the email is being acknowledged respectfully by the teacher. It's also a way of saying to the parent, most of my day, I am in a classroom with kids. I don't have time to respond to your email 30 minutes after you've sent it. Because in this fast-paced emailing world, parents sometimes lose sight of what teachers are actually doing, and they're in front of kids. And they often have lesson plans they have to get done, and they have a lot they have to do. So a reasonable expectation set forth in a student handbook by a school administration saying, here's how we're going to use email together as a community, is a helpful thing. And the last thing I would say is you mentioned synagogues. Like other religious groups or other ways of bringing families together in what I would call communities within communities. In other words, this is the village that we've been talking about. The synagogue is a sort of village. But what villages need to do is they need to be able to reach out to parents and kids who are in distress and help guide them towards resources, because Google is not your mode of choice for finding resources. It shouldn't be. You need to have small communities within your larger community that you can trust to know who the mental health counselors in your town are, to know where the divorce support groups are, to find ways to shepherd parents and kids to the resources that they need. So when you ask what is the role of, say, a synagogue, I would say that's a very big role. There's obviously a religious education role that it plays, but it plays a community role. And so I just wanted to say that I think that in my whole call to action for communities to have villages, the synagogue is a perfect example of a village.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reformed Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.